One, two. That's better. Your figure on. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent. Use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting. Anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. If you have such an interest, I've reminded members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for the Council considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure that if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate you may wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the chamber or the meeting early, please indicate via chat so that we are aware that this is an actual decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, everyone, you're very welcome this evening. First of all, I want to start off by saying, unfortunately, this week, the spectre of violence returned to our streets with the brutal murder of Mark Lovell in Ardcarn in Uri last Thursday. Firstly, my sympathies go to the family of the deceased at this traumatic time, and I want to offer our support to the people of Ardcarn. They are great people with a great community spirit, and this incident has left many of them shaken and fearful. They do not want this on their doorstep, and they don't need it. I have received assurances from the PSNI that they have upscaled their presence in the area, and I would encourage residents to continue to go about their business as normal. I would also encourage anyone with any information which may assist the police with their investigation to contact the PSNI. I also some congratulations and best wishes. It's a huge congratulations goes to the history-making hurlers of Leitrim Fontenoys, who became the first down club to win the Ulster Intermediate Hurling title at the weekend. This is a fantastic achievement, so congratulations to the players, management and everyone at the club. I wish you well for the All-Ireland semi-finals, and I hope to honour your achievement in the coming weeks. And also to Kilcoo GAC, best wishes to them and the Ulster Senior Football Final this weekend at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. I wish the Magpies well and hope you bring back the Ulster title and continue on your journey to retain your All-Ireland crown. On the local soccer front, I want to wish Frankfurt Football Club and Celtic Boys FC good luck as they contest the Bobby Dalziel Cup on St. Stephen's Day. And also wish Drumminess Mills FC every success when they contest the Border Cup final the following day on December 27th. I also want to pass on our best wishes to Sophie Lennon from Mayo Bridge, who will be representing Ireland in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest in Armenia later this month. And the very best of luck, Sophie. I have no doubt you'll do your family, district and country proud. Members, tonight's the last full council meeting for two of our long-serving councillors, Councillor Charlie Casey and Councillor Roisin Mulgrew. Charlie has been a councillor for the last 21 years since 2001 and was a former mayor of Newry Moreland Down District Council in 2011 and of Newry Moreland Down District Council in 2019. We all know how difficult life can be at times as a councillor and being a public representative and the pressures that can put on family life. But to be able to do it for 21 years is a real mark of dedication to the community you represent, Charlie. And I wish you well, and I hope you enjoy your retirement with Brady in the years to come. Roisin has been a councillor for 9 years and was chair of Newry Moreland Down District Council in 2017. You've been a diligent politician, Roisin, and always a a strong adversary in the chamber and somebody who has represented with gusto the people of the district that you stand in. And I know the last few years have been a bit tough for you, and I wish you and your family all the very best in the years to come. So I'd like to wish both of you well as you step down from your role at the end of this month. So, moving forward into tonight's meeting. Sorry, Councillor O'Hare.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Just whenever you're on about that, Chair, I would like to wish on Duff Camogie Intermediate in the semi-final of the All-Ireland. So I will wish them good luck. Yes, and they're playing on Saturday in Westmeath.
Yes, I was remiss of you not to mention it in the Ulster title. Okay, thank you. Okay. Any apologies? Councillor Stokes, Councillor McMurray? Okay, any declarations of interest? None? Okay. So we go through the action sheet then, item number 3, arising from the council meeting held on the 7th of November 2022. We go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please, for accuracy? Councillor Curran proposing. Councillor Andrews seconded. Okay. Any matters arising? None? Okay. Sorry, Councillor Rennie.
Yeah. Chairman, it was just on the issue I had raised about the barrier on the recycling centres. And I still can't find that app that was meant to be up and running for the middle of November.
Yeah. Right. Personally, I'll just get Andrew to come in there. Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we did have some technical difficulties getting the booking system up and running. Those technical difficulties have now been resolved, and we are we have some final discussions to take place with the trade unions this week, and after that it should be up and running, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Very disappointing that we didn't remove those barriers until this was resolved, as Glenn and I had requested.
Okay, Councillor Reddy. Thank you. Any more matters arising? No? Okay. Item number 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of November 2022. We'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, and page 14. Can I have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Councillor Hannah? Seconder. Councillor Murr. Councillor Devon, you have a comment you want to make? Yeah.
This light's on. I have a light on here. Hit the button. Is that all right? It's okay to go ahead? I thought it was red light first, no?
Okay, go ahead, Lauren. I'll bring you in, Charlie.
Sorry, Charlie, that's an afternoon. Thank you, Chair. I suppose just want to make some comments regarding page 10 of the minutes. It relates to the electronic travel authorisation, the notice of motion that my colleague Declan tabled last month. I attended the All-Ireland Activity Tourism Conference back a week and a half ago in the St. Donard in Newcastle. I suppose just to commend the conference organisers and our council. It really was absolutely excellent. Councillor Burgess deputised for you that day, Chair. It really was fantastic to all that energy in one room. But I suppose just as sort of information for members, one section of the conference actually discussed three threats to tourism on this island, and one was the electronic travel authorisation. So that's not coming from the SDLP or coming from one political party. That was coming from all the industry experts that were in that room. They believe it to be a huge economic concern on this island. So I suppose just to commend Declan for bringing that motion forward. It was very, very fitting. I suppose just going forward, we hope maybe when the secondary legislation goes through Westminster, there's maybe some common sense is seen in how we can deliver that and the unique sort of challenges that tourism on this island has and the border that's there. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just in the minutes I had asked that the Council acknowledge Cormac Duffy on the
payment of Kilimanjaro and acknowledging the fact that you raised a huge amount of money for Phipps. And young Conor Wallace, a new man who lives in Australia, won a world title, boxing title.
Okay.
Was that actioned?
No. It does, yeah. Second last paragraph. What page, sir? Page 2.
Right. It was acknowledged then?
It was acknowledged.
Because I was told the idea it wasn't something. By one of a relative, one of the persons you had named.
Yeah, well, we'll double check here, but it's in the minute there on page 2, second last paragraph. Okay.
Dead on, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Any other matters arising, item 4? No? Okay. Item number 5 is this minutes of the special council meeting held on the 31st of October 2022. We'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Can a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Andrews. Seconder, please. Councillor Lee Surgeon, thank you. Any matters arising from item number 5?
No.
Okay.
Chairman, like Henry here.
Sorry, Henry, yes, Chairman, go ahead.
Just on Newry Swimming Pool, is there any update on whether it's going to have to close to get these tides prepared?
It's not in the minutes, Henry. It's not in the minutes.
It is.
It's a special meeting with the Trust. We can see it at the minute.
Are we on active and healthy communities?
No. No. We're on item number 5.
Excuse me, council meeting.
I'll keep you right when we're on that one.
Okay, sorry about that.
You're all right. Okay, any more matters arising from item number 5? Okay, we'll move on. Item number 6 is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee. Go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Burgess, so proposed, seconded by Councillor Curran. Okay, any matters arising? None? Okay. Move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 17th of November 2022. Assuming for accuracy, page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor McGuinness. Thanks, Councillor McGuinness. Okay, any matters arising? Item number 7. No? Okay, we'll move on to item number 8. Sorry,
there's an amendment just to the AHC minutes that's required. There was a duplication on AHC 1932022, Sustainable Food Places, applying for bronze accreditation.
Yes.
So that agreed paragraph will say, and then in 1942022, the Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan,
yes,
it should read, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Lee Surgeoner, seconded by Councillor McAteer, that the Biodiversity Officer drafts the Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan for the Council to lead biodiversity action across the district for the next 5 years.
Okay, can I have just a proposer and seconder for that amendment, please? Councillor McKevitt? Councillor Gallagher's in. Right, okay. Councillor Gallagher. Okay. Sorry. So this is active and healthy communities. Item number 8. Soon for accuracy then. Okay. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. The proposer and seconder. Councillor Gallagher's proposed. And Councillor McAvoy seconded. Thanks. Okay, any matters arising from the minutes of the AHC? Henry, you'd won.
Yeah, it was just about Newry Swimming Pool, Chairman. The rumours that it could possibly close. Also, Chairman, Kilkeel Swimming pool and the leisure centre, still ongoing, terrible problems with that. And if there's any staff could be freed up from Newry, we'd be very grateful for them in Kilkeel.
Okay. Michael, do you want to come in on that one?
Chair, if I can just come in on the... So just on the swimming pools, there is no further update from what was held at the Acton Healthy Communities meeting. It'd be our intention to bring an update report in January around what the proposals are for repairs, etc.
Michael, do you want to add to that?
No, Chair, that's all I was going to say at this point. There is not going to be a pool closure. In terms of the staffing issues or the other issues that you've mentioned at Kilkeel, I'm quite happy to talk to you about that afterwards. That's okay, Councillor.
Thank you.
Hi, Henry. Any more matters arising from item number 8?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Councillor McAteer, going by my list here, you were third on the list.
Oh, right, but I thought you were to say if there's a crossover between that and the amendments.
All right, no problem.
No, just a question, Chair.
That's okay. Have you a question, Declan?
Yeah, it was just, I did see some about the biodiversity suggestion, and I did see some public commentary on it, so have the officers any news for us? From the Department of Infrastructure.
Yeah, Chair, we will have to check with the Assistant Director and come back so we can send an update out to members.
Okay, yeah, just there was something in the press about them agreeing actually to some very diverse work on the Warren Point Jewel Gallery. So.
Okay.
Well, here's something.
Okay, item number 9. So I take it there's no more comments or questions on item number 8. Item number 9 is the Minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting, held on the 23rd November 2022. We'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. No, just want to ask on page 6. There's a special meeting to be arranged, and I was just wondering, will that be before Christmas or after Christmas? Thank you.
Chair, that will be after Christmas.
Okay. Any more matters arising? Okay. Item 10. Item number 10, there are no minutes to reports to go through. Item number 11. Through until 15 is correspondence. Can we propose and seconder for the correspondence? Councillor Gallagher and Councillor Curran. Sorry, Councillor Sharvin. Okay, guys, if you could please use the chat if possible, then we'll have it in the order. Okay. Any matters arising from any of the correspondence items of number 11 to 15? No? Okay. We now then move to the notices of motion. We have an emergency notice of motion in from Councillor Murray, and in order for this to be heard, we require the suspension of standing orders, which will require not less than 80% vote of the members present voting. But we'll do it as the last notice of motion. I'm just flagging it up now, and we'll do the vote at that time. Okay? So the first notice of motion is the cost of living crisis in relation to students, received by Councillor Rice. It will be heard in Council this evening. So Councillor Rice, do you want to read out your motion and tell us who seconded it and speak to it, please?
Thank you, Chair. This council recognises the impact of the cost of living crisis is having on local students who either live away from home or who commute to campus every day. The stark rise in the cost of fuel, heating and rent has left students struggling to get by. This has had a detrimental impact on their health, well-being and studies. This council condemns the DUP for their boycott of the Assembly, which has prevented the executive from supporting people during the cost of living crisis. This council expresses its frustration with the increase in student loans and is announced for undergraduates and postgraduates, which will take effect next September. Students, particularly those from a working class background, are being priced out of education. This will have an untold negative impact for society and for generations to come. This council is deeply concerned that due to Brexit, the loss of the European Social Fund puts funding for apprenticeships, traineeships and skill programmes all at risk. Therefore, this council calls on the DUP to end its boycott of government, which is pushing hard-pressed students. We call on them to get back into the executive so we can support students and get money into their pockets. And the councillor in a McGuinness, or in a Hanlon, will be seconding my motion.
Councillor Hanlon.
I'm happy to second Michael's motion, and I suppose if I could add anything to it, I see firsthand, I have a child who's a student, well, an adult, a student himself, and what I can see from him and his peers, that they're having to work full-time hours and what should be part-time jobs in order to make ends meet for themselves, to try not to put pressure on their parents. So, you know, any assistance and help that students can get, I think it should be given to them. I think as well that is bound to have an impact on their actual studies, that they can't give the time that they should be to, you know, their education. So, great motion, Michael. Thank you.
Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. Just on this motion, to be quite honest with you, I don't know why Sinn Féin are actually doing this. They use the cost of living for, should it be students or anyone there, as a political football. It's just disgraceful, so it is, to be quite honest with you. It's just simply wrong. Yes, I understand that the students are getting it difficult. They're getting it difficult, like all the students in the United Kingdom or throughout the world. Students always are grumbling about money, and to be quite honest, I never went to university, so in a sense, they will come out with better jobs, hopefully at the last with better prospects than those who actually go through the ordinary working class system, so it is, like I did through apprenticeships and that. I honestly don't believe that Michael has just got it right here, she has. It's just simply wrong to be using them as a football to start with, so it is. And all these other things that he's talking about, apprenticeships, all these traineeships, the British government has assured us there, and we'll see what happens on it, and they have invested significantly in new colleges in Armagh and in Portadown. So, to be quite honest with you, I still think there's massive opportunities there, and possibly in the future, degrees is maybe not the course of a lot of people will actually go down. So, well, apprenticeships in a way that you're being trained in the job, as you actually do, you know, as you're doing your degree, it might take a little bit longer, so it might, but it's possibly a better route to go down. But in this whole motion, to be quite honest with you, using anyone as a political football, it's just simply wrong. I'm asking I'm proposing an amendment to it, Chair, and that the sentence starting this council condemns the DUP for their boycott of the Assembly, which has prevented the executive from supporting people during the cost of living crisis. The executive has supported students that they have, in that the fees in Northern Ireland are a lot less than they are in other parts of the United Kingdom. I think they have done a considerable amount, so they have to support them. But as I said to you before, anybody that is through a third-tier education level should have better prospects and finding a better job. So I'm asking for that. I'm proposing that the sentence this council condemns the DUP for their boycott of the Assembly and goes on to where cost of living crisis. I'm proposing that be removed from the notice of motion. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Rice, are you prepared to remove that line?
No, I'm not prepared to remove the line. And, I find it quite offensive if anyone would talk about students grovelling for money. That's
okay. Councillor Hannah, you need a seconder for that proposed amendment? Okay. Councillor Owen. Okay. We will need to take a vote on the amendment then first. Okay. Are we happy enough with the roll call? Okay.
Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
Against.
Councillor Burgess? Sorry, Councillor Burgess? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey? Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright? You're on mute, Councillor Enright. Councillor Finnegan, I'll come back to you, Councillor Enright, or if you want to put it in the chat. Councillor Finnegan?
Again.
Councillor Gallagher?
Again.
Again.
Councillor Gibbons?
Again.
Councillor Hanlon?
Again.
Councillor Hanna?
Four.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell?
Yes.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
Four.
Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt? Councillor McMurray is absent. Councillor Muir?
Four.
Councillor Mulgrew?
Against.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Murray?
Against.
Councillor Owen?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Four.
Councillor Rice? Councillor Rowan?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Stokes is an apology. Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Traynor?
Hey, Councillor Traynor's having connection issues there. So.
Okay. Yeah, so I have 8, 4 and 30 against.
Okay, proposal falls. So we'll go on to the next comment then, which is Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The cost of living crisis knows no boundaries. Our students of today face some of the toughest challenges with the ever-increasing rises in fuel, oil, food, travel, electric and accommodation. Students are having to decide between moving to the area closer to university, college, or to stay at home, as all costs continue to increase, impacting on the hopes of living a student lifestyle. Queen's University in mid-October announced a £7.69 million package for students and staff facing the current cost of living crisis. Students from families earning below £25,000 will get a one-off payment of £400, and all other students receiving £150. In addition to the continued delayed £400 or £600 payment for electric oil heating, the department must ensure that the students benefit from this and not the landlords. The continued challenges not only impact on the student cost, but also on the current employment. I've been contacted by students and parents as they have lost their apprenticeship employment because of increasing costs, and only today a number of parents have reached out to our party in relation to the medical associate courses moving from Belfast to McGee, which also shows an increase of costs for them having to travel and then further impacting on their own part-time jobs. Chair, further to the current challenges, a silent challenge continues in that interest rates for student loans continue to change even from today. Students studying saw the interest rate go up from 6.3% to 6.5% only last Thursday. Students who studied between 1998 and 2011 also saw their interest rate go from 3.25% to 4%. The SDLP are concerned that for students starting in September 2023 will see a new loan repayment plan, and this will see students pay off their loan over 40 years instead of 30 years and will cap the interest rate for repayments at RPA rate of inflation. The loan repayment threshold for this new plan is set at $25,000, which is a decrease from the current $27,295, meaning more graduates will start paying sooner than what the existing students would today. Chair, as some of previous speakers touched on, there's a real need for the increase of hardship funding right across our university and college higher education, but also the maintenance loans need to increase in the rate of matching inflation. they're currently not matching at all. So that is further impacting on the capabilities of students actually being able to afford the basicness. A study by Student Beans also highlighted that 69% of our students in Northern Ireland are worried about covering even the basic costs of living. So, Chair, I think the motion speaks in volumes of the dire need that our students are facing right now. And only without the support of local universities, the students would be in a worse scenario. Although I haven't heard of the Ulster University have announced a similar package to Queen's. I certainly am sure that we as a council could write to the University of Ulster to ask that they do have a similar hardship fund opened up and payments sent out to those students that are facing those challenges. So I'd just add that as an amendment that we write to the Ulster University calling on them to also have a hardship fund in relation to that of Queen's. Thank you.
Councillor Rice, are you happy enough with that?
I'm not actually sure what the proposal is.
It's just the right to University of Ulster to ensure that they, asking them to ensure that they implement a similar hardship fund scheme as that Queen's University.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Cheers. Okay. Need a seconder, Councillor Sharvin? Councillor McCavitt. Okay. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to say in the first instance, the Ulster Unionist Party want to see a fully functioning Assembly and Executive. We do recognise that whilst an Executive and Assembly in place would not have all the answers to the cost of living crisis, it certainly would be able to assist with the difficulties that many sections of our society are encountering at the minute, and students are certainly some of those that are affected by the current financial blight that many face at this present time. The motion that we have before tonight, I am concerned that it's very heavy in terms of its political content. I think we're all genuine about trying to deal with the issues that affect all of us as a result of the cost of living crisis. We should take the party political aspect out of it. And listen, ourselves in the DUP, whilst we're at one in terms of our opposition to the protocol, we believe the Assembly should be in place at the minute. I know the DUP don't believe that be the case, but certainly in this, I don't think it's appropriate that we should be considering this just towards one political party. I think if we are genuine about trying to deal with these issues, and there will be a motion later on that's similar in nature, we should be trying to address this collectively and work together as one in terms of addressing these issues rather than trying to dig at one political party or another, because I don't think it benefits anybody. If we are truly genuine about dealing with the issues that affect our people here in the present. And as a consequence of that, I want to propose an amendment to the motion that's being presented. Tonight, because we have genuine concerns about the motion that's in front of us at the minute. And the amendment that I propose is that this council recognises the impact that the cost of living crisis is having on local students who either live away from home or who commute to campuses every day. The stark rise in the cost of fuel, heating and rent has left students struggling to get by. This council has had a detrimental impact on their health, well-being and studies. This council recognises that a fully functioning executive could assist in supporting people during this cost of living crisis. This council expresses its frustration with the increase in student loans announced for undergraduates and postgraduates, which will take effect from next September. We have concerns of students, particularly those from a working class background, are being priced out of education. This will have an untold negative impact on society for generations to come. This council would ask that the UK government ensure that a necessary funding programme for apprenticeships, traineeships and skills schemes is secured as a replacement for the European Social Fund programme. And that's the amendment that I want to present.
That's quite a substantial amendment.
But I think it's relevant.
Can we email that? Pardon?
What's that, sorry?
On the line that Glenn wanted taken out.
Okay. Need a seconder, David?
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Councillor Borges. Okay. I think so.
need a minute to look at it. Just give them 2 minutes. I just said, do you want a minute to read that?
Okay, I'm going to allow a minute or two for members to read what's been. Have you all received it? And then I'll ask Councillor Rice, who's prepared to accept it, but I'll give you time to read it and digest what's been proposed. Thank you. Okay, Councillor Rice, you've had a look at the amendment. Are you prepared to accept it?
No, I won't be accepting Councillor Taylor's amendment.
Okay, well then we'll have to put that to a vote. Has everybody had the opportunity to read it? Okay, and there'll be another roll call. All right, sir.
Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
Against.
I can hear myself. Councillor Burgess?
For.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Kern? Yes. Councillor Devlin? Yes. Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hanna?
Or.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Harrell?
Yes.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
For.
Councillor McKevitt? Yes. Councillor McMurray's absent. Councillor Muir?
For.
Councillor Mulberry?
Yes.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Yes.
Councillor Murray?
Yes.
Councillor Owen?
For.
Councillor Riley?
For.
Councillor Rice? Yes. Councillor Wan?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Stokes is absent. Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Trainer is still not on. So I have 8-4 and 30 against.
Okay, members fall. Move on to Councillor O'Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just picking up on a couple of things that were said, I suppose. To Glyn, it's too serious an issue to be called a political football, and it's insulting. And I suppose whenever it's reported out about a good motion that supports students in a cost of living crisis that, from our point of view, could be averted. I get it that the DUP weren't going to be happy with it. Davey, party political, a political party taking a motion to council has to be party political. You know, it's our view, our political party's view, that that political party are making a mistake. And that's what makes it party political. Okay. I thought it was a very good motion by Michael, and I'm glad that the two amendments have been turned down. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. Yeah, it's really disappointing that, you know, Sinn Féin would try and play politics in such a primitive fashion, really. But I suppose we have to expect that from them. They are a political nationalism or republicanism, whatever you want to call it. But the thing I can't understand is, if you go across the border, where Sinn Féin is the biggest party in opposition, the formal opposition in the Dáil Éireann, and yet they're organising street protests in towns across 26 counties against the cost of living crisis. So there they have a fully functioning government, fully functioning parliamentary system, and yet they can't influence it down there. But they think that by forming the Assembly in Northern Ireland, the executive, that is going to be a cure for all our ills. Clearly it's not. This is a worldwide crisis that we're facing. And Europe, continental Europe, is actually in a worse situation than us at the minute in many ways. But we're going into a recession because of the West's daft sanctions against Russia and how they're impacting on European energy supplies. And it's not going to get any better for a long time to come. So we're going to have to adjust our how we live our lives and how governments spend money. And, you know, again, Sinn Féin making these assertions that we're losing all this funding on the skills, education, that type of thing. And today, if anybody was following it, the UK government has published its 2022-25 proposals for the Shared Prosperity Fund. And actually, Mid-Ulster and Belfast City Councils are represented on the body that is developing how that will be delivered in Northern Ireland. And maybe Marie could advise us why, you know, we're not on it, or are we not consulted on it, or what is it? But, Chairman, just the Shared Prosperity Fund, if you do take a look at it, it's actually going to be far superior to the EU Social Fund that was very cumbersome and ineffective in many ways. And it was £500 million for the entire UK, whereas the Shared Prosperity Fund is talking about £2.8 million over 3 or 4 years. So Northern Ireland's going to get £124 million. From that Shared Prosperity Fund a year. So we're doing very, very well on it. And as I say, the fact that local people are going to have the input into how that money is distributed and where it's really needed and how it can work to best effect, that is something that we should welcome. And it's one of the benefits of getting out of the European Union. But Chairman, I just think we need to be realistic. We need to realise that if the Assembly goes up in the morning, it won't make one bit of difference to the cost of living crisis. The only place that will affect that is Westminster, where they have the fiscal power and to make the changes that could affect society. But it's not going to be done in Stormont. And anybody that thinks it's just they're deluding themselves. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Reddy. Councillor Gallagher, you had a peeve beside. I would take it that was a comment you wanted to make or a question.
Sorry, that was mistypo, Paul.
It wasn't? Oh, I suppose we gas round. That's okay. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose we hear this line thrown out all the time that if the Assembly gets back up and running, it wouldn't be able to do anything because it suits certain political parties. And the same party a couple of years ago were saying it had to get up because it was key to doing everything. I just find the politics in this absolutely exhausting. I think the motion in itself has huge merit. I think we could hear motions from a wide range of people across society that want to have their voice heard, that are really, really struggling, and students are really struggling. And they want to tell those in Stormont and the executive to get back in and make decisions, albeit that they won't be able to make all the decisions because we don't have the financial powers as a devolved government, but they're able to tailor make schemes and able to put advice to the people that are struggling here. And without that, I mean, we should just pack up and go home. With the motion being rewarded, like, I just find that we always try to change things to save a few blushes for ourselves, whether that's all the political parties. Let's reward this so we're not attacking one political party. We should just stop and say, call it out for what it is. There's all other parties want to get back in and try and do what they can to help the people that are struggling through the winter. And one party isn't. So we're dancing on semantics if we just want to change words and say that we don't want to make it party political. I disagree. Let me finish, Glenn. I disagree. You know, with terms being... Let me finish. Terms being thrown out when somebody is angry. They reach for the sectarian card and throw it out. Comments from Glenn, sectarian SDLP, I think it's absolutely atrocious. This is a motion on student hardship. I don't know where sectarianism comes into it. And finally, what I'll say is, we constantly have motions where, when we bring a motion, we've got to be asking for something. The amendment is just simply saying, we recognise that the executive could do something, and ends at that. Why would we even support that? What is the sense in bringing that? We've got to ask people to move forward and send a message, do something. So you have to ask the executive to get back in. It's not good enough just to recognise they could do something. And that's where our issue was with the amendment from David. But, you know, we're probably going to see this over the next couple of months and people trying to save face. We should actually grow up and do what's right for the people right across this island and do our jobs and stop trying to protect ourselves in front of an election.
Okay. So we obviously have division on the main motion, so we'll have to take it to a vote. Roll call again. Sarah? This is for the motion itself, as it sits on the clar.
Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
Sorry, Chair, including my amendment, I'm assuming, because that hasn't been voted.
Correct.
Apologies. Including the amendment where calls on the Ulster University to implement the same hardship fund strategy as Queen's University. Is that correct, Councillor Sharon? Okay. So it's what's on the clar there plus that line. Okay.
Councillor Owen has a comment.
Councillor Owen, yes, go ahead.
No, just forget it.
Happy to take it. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say one thing really quickly. You know, just on the back of what Peter said there, I think we've actually been really clear. You know, as far as the DUP is concerned, we want to be back in the Assembly. Nobody wants to be back in the Assembly more than we. But until we actually get fundamental changes to the protocol, we can't. And that is the mandate that we have from the people who voted for us. So, you know, that's all I wanted to say. No, he did give us.
I missed it on the screen. Apologies. Because there was an input not supported thing goes across my screen and it obscured the fact that you'd done. That's why I'm allowing you in. Go ahead, Carlton, finish your point, please.
No, that's me. That's all I wanted to say. That wee point. Thank you.
Okay, let's continue with the roll call then, please.
Okay, Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess?
Against.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Giddens?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt? Councillor McMurray is absent. Councillor Muir?
Against.
Councillor Mulgrew? Sorry, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Murray?
For.
Councillor Owen?
Against.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice? Councillor Wan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes is absent. Councillor Taylor?
Yes.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
So I have 34 and 8 against.
Motion's carried. Okay. Move on to item number 17, which is the notice of motion, establishment of an All-Ireland Citizens Assembly. This is in the name of Councillor Finnegan. This has been referred to the Gucci Relations Forum. So, Aoife, if you could read it out for me and tell me who, just read out your motion and tell me who's seconded it. Whoever it is, could second it, please.
Thanks, Chair. The Council notes and welcomes the recent commencement of two new Citizens Assembly by the Irish Government. Further notes that Citizens Assembly are a powerful democratic exercise that informs citizens, allowing them to debate specifics, develop positions and inform policy. They have operated effectively in many jurisdictions across the world. The Council calls on the Irish Government to establish an All-Ireland Citizens Assembly to debate and discuss our future. The debate on our future is live and growing. We must plan for constitutional change. This Council also invites officials from the Taoiseach's Shared Island Unit to present to Council and provide an update on the activity and plans for the future. The Council will communicate this motion to the Office of the Taoiseach. And Councillor Jim Brennan is seconding it.
Okay. That's been referred to the Good Relations Committee. The next motion is item number 18, which is notice of motion of EU Common Agricultural Policy, Single Farm Payments, and the name of Councillor McGuinness has been referred to ERT. So, you know, if you could read out your motion and tell me who is signing it, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I would just like to put on record my disappointment and dismay at how this motion has been referred to ERT. I do think it's a very important motion for our farmers and both across South Armagh, South Down and the Mourns. It's a very, very difficult time at the minute with the cost of living crisis, not to mention all the other effects that Brexit and everything else is having on our rural communities and our farmers. So I'm just a wee bit baffled as to how this has ended up with the committee. But anyway, here is the motion as it stands. This Council recognises the significant investment in rural communities and businesses and the wider economy derived from the single farm payment under the EU Common Agricultural Policy. Agrees that capped single farm payments were critical to farm profitability, particularly for small family farms. Is concerned with the significant uncertainty facing our farming community with the loss of capped single farm payments as a result of Brexit and the end of the replacement basic payment scheme worth £300 million a year beyond 2025, and calls on the British Government and the Permanent Secretary of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs to set out urgently what replacement funds will be put in place to support our farmers and the wider agricultural sector. And that is being seconded by Councillor Roisin Hyle. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Item number 19 is notion of motion, broadening rates base, increasing direct income and reducing costs in the name of Councillor Enright. This has been referred to the Strategic Finance Working Group. Councillor Enright, if you could read your motion and advise as to who is seconding it, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. I believe Councillor Una Hanlon is seconding. The motion reads, Council notes that a notice of motion was passed by Council last year, requiring management to report back to the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee by April 2022 on delivering dates and detailed plans for Council to glean the benefits of the green electrified economy. The purpose of this motion was to help tackle our budget shortfall. So far, no plans have been presented to meet these targets. The detail of the original motion was Council formally adopts indicative targets, revenue targets for from renewables as follows: 2022, 1 million per annum, 2025, 5 million per annum, 2030, 10 million per annum. Council directs that these targets can be met from renewables projects, income from Council's own renewables, and from a revitalised energy savings programme. Council thus resolves that Council management are required to create an interdepartmental team to report by the 31st of January 2023 with detailed plans to fulfil these indicative targets so they can be included in the rates estimate looking forward. Council notes that this motion is primarily aimed at improving Council's financial position, but will also have the effect of delivering on Council's climate change emergency policy as well.
Who's seconding your motion, sir?
Councillor Hanlon.
Councillor Hanlon, okay, thank you. Item 20 is notice of motion, cervical cancer screening in Northern Ireland in the name of Councillor Devlin. It'll be heard this evening. Councillor Devlin, if you could read out your motion, speak to it and advise who is seconding, please.
Thank you, Chair. This council expresses serious concern that cervical cancer screening in Northern Ireland is less accurate than the rest of the UK. Women in Northern Ireland are being tested using a different method called cytology, which is less sensitive than HPV screening. Cervical cancer is one of the few cancers that are preventable, and it's estimated that in a well-screened population, 8 out of 10 cervical cancers can be prevented. The introduction of HPV testing was included in the regional cancer strategy, but is yet to be introduced. This council writes to the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Health, as well as the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and calls this urgent and life-saving change. So at present, women in Northern Ireland are tested using a different method called cytology, despite the rest of the UK using HPV, and despite the Northern Ireland Cervical Screening Programme recommending HPV as the primary screening test. In recent years, an average of 81 people have been diagnosed with cervical cancer in Northern Ireland per year, unfortunately resulting in 21 deaths per year on average, 21 families without a loved one. Cervical cancer is one of the few cancers that are preventable, and it's estimated that in a well-screened population, 8 out of 10 cervical cancers can be prevented. But here in Northern Ireland, our women are given less of a chance to survive. Let's just think about that. An absolute postcode lottery for women. Across the water, your screening is more accurate and more precise, giving me, you, your mother, your daughter, your wife, a greater chance of survival. The introduction of HPV testing was included in the regional cancer strategy, but it was never implemented. Why? Women in Northern Ireland continue to be left behind by the outdated measures that we use, and women are being failed. I know the change to HPV was approved by the department before the collapse of institutions, but we're still waiting. We need an executive in place. The ongoing paralysis of Stormont is tying the hands of elected representatives. A political decision was made around this, but hasn't yet been introduced. If we had an assembly, I know our team of SDLP MLAs would be holding others to account and ultimately ensuring that Northern Ireland isn't left behind on this vital issue. So, Chair, I would welcome the support of all colleagues in this chamber so our council can send a clear message in support of women and our futures. And Councillor Karen McKevitt, Chair, will be seconding my motion.
Okay, Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And second, Councillor Devlin's motion, I'd like to start by saying that this motion should not have been necessary. This change has already been approved, but the lack of our own government ministers and sitting assembly, it seems to be another casualty for our health service and women. Since the vaccination for HPV was introduced in 2008 for young women, that means that they are now coming forward at the age of 25 plus for their smear tests, which would see a reduction in cases, and which is good news. The introduction of the vaccination for young men in 2019 will also strengthen the argument for less HPV in society, and that was the idea. The introduction for HPV testing in this region should be a win-win for everyone. It means more lives saved, more accurate diagnosis for women, and it means reducing anxiety for women who get recalled unnecessarily, and that worry should and would be taken away. It means that we reduce costs to our health service and keep us up to date with the gold standard. The money saved for the health service could be resourced into a pool of money to help pay for our nurses and healthcare providers who are preparing to go onto the picket lines this week for much needed better pay and working conditions. Some women believe we are in the dark ages on diagnostic testing for cervical cancer, and I believe they're right. To those who fought hard and to raise awareness and to highlight the seriousness around cervical cancer, like Vicky Phelan, who recently passed away, and to those who treat it, this motion makes sense, and to all women, and it will save lives, time and money. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McKevitt. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. The DUP has no problem at all supporting this motion, and thanks, Laura, for bringing it forward. It is a life-saving opportunity, so it is, if that's the way you want to put it. it's not a massive change, and I couldn't see it being a massive financial implication if the rest of the UK is already using it. I'm not sure what the south of Ireland, have they already adopted this or not, but to be quite honest with you, cervical cancer is one of the few cancers that can be treated very easily, so it can if it's caught in plenty of time. So, and with us, we have no hesitation in lowering supporting your motion.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Lee Surgeoner.
Thank you, Chair. Alliance will be supporting this motion. Ultimately, Northern Ireland continues to lag behind the rest of the UK on cervical cancer screening. It's just another example of this failure of not having an executive. We know from experience that earlier cancer screening is an essential part of early intervention and therefore of saving lives. Failing to provide the most up-to-date testing and to ensure tests are carried out at the earliest reasonable age will therefore inevitably cost lives, and it's as simple as that. Yet this is another issue where transformation has not been fully embraced and where there is no movement because the budget is required, but no truly Northern Ireland-centric budget can be delivered without an executive. And our own Alliance Health spokesperson, Paula Bradshaw, MLA, raised this issue at Stormont. There was a period to get moving on this issue, but we have seen nothing but in action. On a personal note, this issue impacts everyone, and I know firsthand. Imagine my surprise and disappointment that nothing has changed in the past 8 years since my mother died of cervical cancer and its complications, that nothing has actually changed. Proton therapy that I asked our consultants about back then still isn't available on the island of Ireland. We're still using out-of-date testing methods, like smear tests. And when I saw this motion tonight, initially I was actually fine about it. Then as I thought about it, the disappointment, the anger, not for me or what my family has been through for those 4 years of fighting this cancer, but for the countless women that have gone through what my mother did since then. I was with her every step of her last journey. The good days when she was strong after chemo, the bad days when she was too weak to even lift her head up, when she lost her hair, when she lost her ability to walk, when the cancer spread to her spinal cord, despite getting a hysterectomy, despite her being proactive in the years before getting mammograms and smear tests arranged by the Chinese Welfare Association many years before. I know the story and its consequences all too well, and she was only 52 when she died. So something has to change. The cycle has to break somewhere, and that break requires us to be using the most up-to-date testing methodologies and new medical technologies already developed to combat any form of cancer. Also asking teenage boys and girls, as well as gay men like myself, to take HPV vaccine when ultimately testing for conditions like cervical cancer continues to use the most out-of-date cytology tests is just baffles me. So yeah, I support Councillor Devlin's motion for all women throughout Northern Ireland. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Surgeon, and thank you for sharing your very personal, deeply personal story. Very touching. Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thanks very much. Fully support the motion brought by Laura here this evening. It's very relevant. I've just heard my personal experience there now. Thank you again for that. I think it puts into some context the need for developments in the type of tests and screening that we use here in Northern Ireland, and we need to follow models that increase accuracy and ultimately save lives, so we can ensure that our entire female population are given the best protection that they can in preventing this type of cancer, and that families still have loved ones in place that aren't here today because of the fact that we don't have the necessary measures in place. So I certainly hope, again, that we can get urgent movement on this, despite the fact there is a lack of executive at the moment. And I know when Robin Swalm was in place, he wanted to see progress in all various forms of counter strategies. So I certainly hope that we can see urgent action on this, but I think it's obviously required. So thanks, Laura, for bringing this motion forward, and it's obviously clear that we're all behind this in the council chamber this evening. So thanks again.
Thanks, David. Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and I'll be brief. And I just want to put on record my thanks to Laura for bringing this motion. I know for us ladies, it's maybe something you don't want to talk about openly, but it's something that should be, and it should be normalised. And any progress that can be made with screening should definitely, you know, happen. I think myself and Councillor Traynor brought a similar motion a couple of years ago in regards to early screening for bile and cervical. So I really appreciate you taking it again this evening and highlighting it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hannah, and thanks, Laura, for bringing the motion. Yeah, I'm going to get you to mind now if you want to come back.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry. Oh, sorry, Harold, I didn't see you on the list there. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Just TUV would certainly support Laura that notice of motion there. It's critical that we obviously do the right thing when it comes to cancer. We've had it in our house of a different type, but still it took away a life. And we know that anything that can be done to prevent, I think the question was asked, I just checked there, in March 2020, the Republic of Ireland introduced the HPV. So I think it's important, yes, that we get that as soon as we possibly can and have a prevention of it anyway. You know, that's so important. So thanks, Laura, for bringing that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, Laura, do you want to come in and amend in?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I suppose thanks, everybody, for their comments. I know how emotive it is, and especially for anyone who has been affected by any cancer or lost a loved one, like our own colleague here, David. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Thanks for sharing it with us all tonight. It's very, very, very moving and heartbreaking, David. So I suppose, comment, Chair, is my final comment. You know, I'm not being political. I'm not naming any political party, but really just to appeal to people who are blocking devolved government here that we really need to think about this issue, to think about the females or families, and surely we all deserve the best possible chance. I don't think anything is more important than that, Chair, and that's me not being political, but just trying to send that message that this is what politics should be about making that change that really does save lives. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Laura, for bringing up such a very important motion tonight. I presume then, from the reaction in the chamber, that we're all in favour? Okay, that's three unanimously. Okay. Okay, item 21 is a notice of motion on workers' legal rights to TIPS in the name of Councillor Andrews. This will be heard this evening. Councillor Andrews?
Dead on, thanks. I'd just like to propose a wee amendment to align with the wording that... I'll read out the motion and I'll just lay the amendment to it. Newry, Mourne and Down District Council calls upon the extension of laws that are being proposed at Westminster, giving workers a legal right to their TIPS to be extended here to Northern Ireland. If this motion is adopted, it will be right to the other 10 local authorities seeking their support, and also to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of the Economy and the relevant Minister at Westminster, strongly urging that the legislation in Northern Ireland be brought into line with the mainland. I'd like to substitute Great Britain, if that would be accepted, instead of the mainland and the Republic of Ireland, as a matter of urgency. And the seconder for the motion will be Councillor Declan McTeer from Crotlave. So I'll proceed and read what it was spelled. Mr Chairperson, in introducing this motion to the Council in relation to TIPS for the hospitality staff and other sectors, and in the absence of a functioning assembly, I call upon the Westminster Government to use legislative means at its disposal to bring in and extend the necessary legislation that would enable Northern Ireland to come into line with what is going through the House of Commons, Great Britain, mirroring a new law that recently came into force in the Republic that gave employees a legal entitlement to get the service charge paid in electronic form. All of this is welcomed and will ensure that this will be a positive step towards improving rights and entitlements of lower paid workers. Whilst a whole lot of employers treat their workers and staff fairly, this legislation will help to stamp out bad practice and will give customers confidence that the gratuities and tips are paid to staff who work so hard and go the extra mile in providing the service second to none to customers and patrons and help boost their income. And summing up, Mr Chairperson, I strongly urge, as I said earlier, that the bill that is currently going through Parliament, that the terms are extended here, and the Secretary of State could do this by bringing in an order in Council to make this happen as soon as possible in a matter of urgency. So I move the motion, Chairperson.
Who's seconding your motion, Councillor Andrews? Councillor Maggott here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yes, Chair, yeah, and as one who tips extensively
I was delighted on this occasion to second the motion. I do think we sort of Americanized ourselves without actually thinking about how this whole process worked over the last number of years. And I do think it's very apt that that we're bringing this motion tonight for those workers who are generally below, even below the minimum wage on occasions. And the whole scenario around tipping and service charges is very, very unclear. It should have been sorted out many, many years ago. We are where we are, and I do hope that we are in a position soon to introduce it here, because we're the only outlying area as such that hasn't got this protection in through the Dáil, I think, about 2 weeks ago, and they were quite, the legislation was quite specific in the south, so the wording of the motion is to liaise along with that legislation in the south that will be an all-Ireland approach to us. So when you go down to the football or rugby in Dublin, that you're, at least you know where your euro's going. On a serious note, you know, there is so many, you know, people see service charges, that's built into the law in the south, that, you know, when it's named and recognised as service charge, that that is what it was. And it is going to those who are providing the service to you in that respect. So I'm happy to second it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, is there anything under stand orders where you can take measures against elected representatives for misleading the chamber? Just when Councillor McAteer mentioned that he tips heavily, there's, I know there's measures in Parliament, so I wonder if there's something similar in our own chamber.
The last tip he gave was told something out the way.
I was going to say that. It would be a verbal tip on one Councillor McAteer more than a financial tip, but anyway, on a more serious note, the motion that Councillor Andrews has brought forward tonight, I want to thank him for bringing this motion. This legislation is potentially groundbreaking and would benefit millions of workers. I think it's acknowledged that the hourly pay in terms of the hospitality sector is one of the lowest of all the sectors in the UK. And the bill actually has the potential, and this is across the UK, to benefit more than 2 million people who receive tips as part of their work. It will ensure fairness and equity across the board, and it also provides greater transparency for employers and workers on how tips should be treated, and will create a level playing field for businesses that already pass tips on to their workers to ensure that it's done in a fair and transparent way. So, and also, finally, consumers would have the confidence that the full value of their tips that they give to workers is going directly to them. So, certainly hope that the government will look again on our request favourably, and we can see workers in this part of the United Kingdom benefiting from the same, you know, benefits that others will if this legislation comes through. So, thank you, Chair.
Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Andrews, I have no problem at all supporting your motion. Employees do need to be protected in ways that tips are not used to subsidise low wages in any way whatsoever. It does go on in places, so it does, and that wages, I know there's the living wage, there's the minimum wage and that, but as David said, to be quite honest with you, some sectors, the wages are a lot lower than others, and I would love to see that any money that's given, so it is, should go directly to the employees, so they should, and that if they provide good service on any occasion whatsoever, make sure your plate's well filled up whenever it's coming to a meal, and whenever that's finished, they come around and give you a bit more. I think that should be rewarded at all times. Well, if you tip well, you're looked after well, so I think that should be really reflected, and it does need to be reflected in legislation that tips goes to where they're intended to go. So thanks.
Well.
Well, actually, I'm a heavy tipper, Sam.
All right, folks. It's getting out of hand altogether. Right, Councillor Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'd like to thank Terry also for bringing the motion. I had submitted a similar motion. Also, but Terry had beat me till it, he had got in first. I think it's good that the two of us thought this was a worthy motion in regards to correcting an injustice in regards to frontline hospitality staff. So I suppose from the outset, I would say the majority of hospitality businesses support their staff. They support their well-being. They do share all the tips. And they get taxis home for their staff late at night. Unfortunately, there's a minority out there that are treating their staff very poorly. And I think that's why it's important that we bring, or Terry brought this motion to this chamber. First of all, I recognise the hard work and skills of our hospitality workers who often rely on the tips to supplement their wages. Also, the acknowledge the dedicated customer service that workers provide in order to earn the tips. And I think that's what it's about. The people are going, you know, the extra mile. I think Glenn mentioned it. They're going that extra mile and to ensure that the customer has a great visitor experience and has a great meal. You know, so that's why it's essential. The better the staff, the better the tips that are coming in. So, you know, it increases the service all round. I condemn the attempts by some employers to exploit workers by taking their tips and pocketing them through service charges and other means. And I have to mention also that, you know, council needs to stand in solidarity with the trade union movement in regards to their campaigns to protect the workers' tips. There's a similar theme running right through the meeting tonight. You know, again, I would call on the DUP to get back to work so that the executive can deliver on legislation that would protect, you know, the workers' tips, workers' rights, as they've been protected across the water and also in the south of Ireland. So totally support the motion and thank Terry for bringing it.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Clark. Well, the sound of that, I believe there's cross-party support across the chamber. Well, happy enough with that? Yeah, okay, passed unanimously. Item number 22.
Michael, sorry, I'd just like to
I'd like
to thank everybody for their support, and it's good to hear about the tipping practices of a couple of councillors, so no, good to hear. I say hopefully sooner rather than later that the legislation that we're seeking will be implemented, and again tonight it was a very good debate and to everybody supported, much appreciated, and I'm sure the people out there would be saying the same. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much, Councillor Andrews, and thanks for speaking up for the hospitality staff. Thank you. Okay, item number 22 is a notice of motion, fishing and fish processing industry, received from Councillor Curran. It's been referred to ERT. Councillor Curran, if you could read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please. Thank you.
This council noting the valuable contribution made to our local and national economy at the ports of Ardglass and Kilkeel expresses its concern that the impact of Brexit continues to have on our fishing and fishing processing industry across Newry, Mourne and Down, affirming its support for the fishing and fish processing industry and expressing its concern for the absence of a functioning assembly and executive to promote and support our fishing and fishing processing industry, that this council will write to the United Kingdom Home Office to highlight the valuable contribution made by the local fishing and fishing processing industry, calls for the recognition of the fish processing industry in Northern Ireland as seasonal, and further calls for the Home Office to recognise the exemption of EEA and non-EEA staff employed in the fishing industry, and enable in Northern Ireland to enable the industry to employ foreign workers during the summer months and continue its valuable contribution to our economy. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Curran, who's seconding your motion?
Councillor Devlin.
Councillor Devlin. Thank you very much, Councillor. Thank you. Okay, that then brings us to the emergency motion that was tabled from Councillor O'Murray for this evening's council meeting. I've got it, and I'm happy enough for it to be heard on the basis that if the standing orders or can be suspended requires a qualified majority vote, which is not less than 80% of the members present and voting. So if you're to hear this meeting, hear this motion, you'd have to vote so to suspend standing orders. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. So it'll be a recorded vote. So this is to suspend standing orders to hear the motion. emergency motion submitted by Councillor Murray.
Yeah. So it's because it's a recorded vote, if you can use your microphone so that it's actually recorded on the recording as well. Yeah. So we have 38 members on the in the meeting at the minute. So we need, with a qualified majority, we need to reach 30 members voting yes for the motion. So Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess?
Against.
Councillor Burton? Councillor Casey?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern?
For.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons? Councillor Gibbons? He's still on. You're on mute, Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hyle?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray's absent. Councillor Murr?
Against.
Councillor Mulgrew?
For.
Councillor Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor O'Murray?
For.
Councillor Owen? Councillor Riley?
Yes.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Wan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes is absent. Councillor Taylor?
Against.
And Councillor Tinley?
For.
So I have 34 and 8 against, so the motion can be heard.
Councillor Murray, do you want to read out your motion, please? Speak to it and advise who's seconding it.
Thanks, Chair. This motion will be seconded by Roisin Hall. The motion reads, this council is deeply concerned that the £600 energy support payment due to people across the north of Ireland who are enduring severe cost of living pressures has not yet been made, despite DUP assurances it would be paid in November. Notes, as a result of the DUP boycott of power sharing, responsibility for delivering this payment rests with the British government. It is further concerned that as temperatures drop and winter deepens, many families struggling to pay soaring energy bills will have budgeted for this payment being made before Christmas as promised, and therefore calls on the British government to urgently provide clarity on the delivery of the payments. It is well past time these were delivered with no more broken promises. Chair, former Finance Minister Conor Murphy spoke on this yesterday, and he said, it's deeply concerning and unacceptable that struggling families will not receive the £600 payment before Christmas to help with energy bills. We need an executive form now and parties working together to ensure people get this payment right away without delay. They could and should already have it. The DUP's cruel boycott of government has held up this payment and left people struggling and worrying about a cold winter with no support. Not only have the DUP delayed households from getting this payment, but they also promised and misled people that the payment was coming in November. Enough is enough. People cannot wait any longer. They need the support now as the cold winter begins to bite. They deserve an executive that will work in their interests. Sinn Féin will recall the Assembly on Wednesday in another effort to form the executive and put ministers in place to get this £600 energy payment back into people's pockets. Cormorgan.
Roisin, you want to second it?
Yes, happy to second, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. It's cold outside, everybody. I think we'll blame the DUP. on a more serious note, There's absolutely nothing bloating this payment coming from London whatsoever. The only thing is the political will of London to pay it. The DUP are not responsible in any way for holding it up. The DUP only passed on in good faith what they were told by the British government and Westminster that the money would be there roughly by November, so they would. So in saying that, British government are the ones that have moved the goalposts that they have. They've changed things that they have. The government now says that the energy companies aren't ready to pay this. This is only because the ministers now moved the goalposts by introducing the cashed up out options that they did. However, London specifically rejected the cash out opportunity in the summertime whenever it was suggested, so it was. Now they've decided to bring it back in. This is only simply to put pressure on the DUP to go back into government. The DUP wants the protocol addressed. We're going, hopefully, to get it addressed. If we don't, there'll be no storming in the foreseeable future. So, well, that is pretty much where we're at. Protocol needs addressed. It's a massive issue, so it is. And it will affect every single one of us. And within weeks, it will make a difference, even at the start of the next year. It started 1st of January, so it will. It needs addressed. Go to any business or anything throughout the country, that's what needs to be done. There's massive, massive money being wasted, so there is, just by the stupidity of the protocol. With the movement of the goalposts, it's just, all it has, it's just stopped everything just at the moment. But in saying that, if the British government took a notion so they could have this money with us in a very short period of time. And for Sinn Féin to start again playing a political, using this as a political football, it's just using those who are in need of the money in a very political way, so it is. It's totally uncalled for, so it is. DUP has no influence in this whatsoever. Perhaps maybe if the MPs from the Sinn Féin decided to take up their seats in Westminster and tried to have some influence, would help. But no, they just take the money so they do there for their expenses and glory over to London and waste money like that in the middle of a cost of living crisis where they're pretty much doing nothing over there. At least the SDLP do send their representatives over there to try to make a difference. That's all taking place, that is. So, in saying that, DUP are not responsible for this. I believe that Sinn Féin and paying party political politics in this, it's just simply wrong. The people that are suffering are the people that haven't got their money. Sinn Féin are just simply wrong in this. There. Westminster is the ones that's holding this up. So that is our procession, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Similar concerns to what I outlined previously in terms of the other motion on student support. Again, want to outline that the Ulster Unionist Party wants to see an executive and assembly established right away. We have concerns, again, like the DUP regarding the protocol, but we do want to see an executive established to work on people's behalf. And I think it's also important to note that Sinn Féin held the people of Northern Ireland to ransom for 3 years as well in recent years regarding the lack of an executive. And there could have been periods of time during that 3 years when fuel poverty strategies and things like that there could have been established to help people in, you know, crisis where we find ourselves today. So it's important to note that. I think there's a wee bit of amnesia in that regard, that somehow they didn't use similar tactics, which also impacted on the people of Northern Ireland. So I think that should be noted and recorded. Their notice of motion, obviously, that's been presented tonight also doesn't call for any action. It just calls for clarity. And certainly what I want to see is action on this, because people need this money and need it urgently. And the UK government can find the necessary space and measures to do that. So I want to propose an amended motion, Chair. This council is deeply concerned that the energy support payments promised to people across Northern Ireland who are enduring severe cost of living pressures has not yet been made, despite assurances it will be paid in November. Notes was concerned that during the 3 year storm it was collapsed previously, 2017 to 2020, vital work to tackle the root causes of poverty were severely inhibited. Acknowledges that as a result of the latest lack of functioning power sharing executive, responsibility for delivering equivalent support rests with the UK government. Is further concerned that as temperatures drop and winter deepens, many families struggle to pay soaring energy bills, but have budgeted for payment being made before Christmas is promised. and therefore calls on the UK government to immediately deliver on the payments, as it is well past time that these were delivered with no more broken promises. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think that'll have to be emailed to... That's a substantive change. Yep. Have we got a second? Councillor Burgess. It'll have to be emailed to members. I'll give you a couple of minutes to read it. And then we'll ask Barry, does he want to accept it? Maybe by the time we're finished, there'll be a bit of Christmas cheer in the chamber before it's all over. I don't know who's responsible for Bah Humbug tonight, but we'll take it from there. Have you all got that now to have a look at it? It's on the chat as well, folks. Okay, Councillor Murray, you have a chance to read it?
I have.
Are you prepared to accept the amendment?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. So, I have to vote on that. So, we'll do a roll call. So, we're voting on the amendment to the motion as per table there by Councillor Taylor. We'll do a roll call again. Okay.
Yeah, Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
Against.
Councillor Burgess?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
Yes.
Councillor Casey?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Kern? Yes. Councillor Devlin? Yes. Councillor Enright?
Against the amendment.
Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons? Councillor Gibbons?
Yes.
Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell?
Yes.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Yes.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
For.
Councillor McKevitt?
Against.
Councillor McMurray is absent. Councillor Muir?
For.
Councillor Mulgrew?
Against.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Murray?
Against.
Councillor Owen?
For.
Councillor Riley?
For.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Wan?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Yes.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Stokes is absent. Councillor Taylor?
For.
And Councillor Tinley?
Against.
So I've 8 for and 30 against.
we've now got guerrilla voting tactics in the chamber. So that motion, that amendment to the motion falls. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I do take and hope that Councillor Hanna is obviously joking when he says it's cold outside, we'll blame DUP, but there's certainly families and people that are suffering because of the cold weather, and I don't think it is a laughing matter to make a joke out of. But I actually would like to make an amendment before I dive into this, and I hope that the bar will accept it. And it's a slight amendment that despite Tory government and DUP assurances, it would be paid in November. And that would just be the amendment in that line. But, Chair, it is truly a disgrace that people in the North have yet to receive a single penny while this money has begun to be paid to those in England, Scotland and Wales. The Irish government has also brought forward a number of policies to support people, leaving people in the North the only ones across these islands not to get a penny of help. The then DUP Economy Minister Gordon Lyons had clearly indicated the money would arrive in November, raising the hopes of the people who desperately need this money. Families dealing with rising food, fuel and energy bills have been relying on this money to get them through the Christmas period, with many budgeting for it only to be let down. As a result of these delays, pensioners will be left struggling in cold homes, children will be missing meals and parents will be struggling under the pressure of trying to keep everything together. The reliance on food banks is increasing every day and communities pulling together to try and ensure no child goes without a toy this Christmas. The British government has been clear that it would have been easier to get this money out to the people if the Stormont institutions were functioning. This is the latest example of how the DUP's boycott of the Assembly and Executive is harming people across the North. We need to see proper support for people who rely on home heating oil, as the current £200 that's being suggested does not go far enough. The SDLP has proposed to provide every household who uses oil with 1,000 litres as part of a voucher scheme that would truly reach and cause an impact where it is most needed. The lack of urgency from the British government shows little they care about the people here and issues impacting them. The inability of both the DUP and British government to deliver any help to people during this emergency will have devastating impacts on people's physical and mental well-being. Chair, I'm hoping that the proposer accepts my amendment.
Are you prepared to accept that amendment?
Yeah, I have no problem with that amendment.
Okay. Seconder for the amendment. Councillor Byrne.
Chair Reddy. Thanks, Chair. You know, it's important to point out, Chairman, that this payment has been withheld or made more difficult because of the protocol ties us into an All-Ireland energy policy. And that was one of the reasons, and perhaps it's another reason why the DUP is so adamant that there has to be changes made to the protocol to make it function or to restore the UK's internal market, where we sell 80% of our product and is our by far our most important market. But it's important to note that the Tories actually did take note of local sentiment and changed it to allow the cash out, and that will facilitate people who have coal fires or are solely dependent on oil for their heating. And apparently it was the local fuel suppliers and people who influenced that. So it's actually, while it's delayed, it could actually be beneficial for the people here. And it's just so pathetic to continually blame the DUP for everything. It's so ridiculous. And especially whenever Sinn Féin were out for 3 years to get policing and justice and the Irish Language Act. You know, it's just, how can you be so hypocritical, so barefaced in your hypocrisy? It's just beggars belief how you can do that. But the thing also, why we're holding out on this, and I say we, I mean the DUP, the greater family of the DUP, within a few weeks,
51% of the veterinary products that our farmers rely on, totally rely on, for animal welfare and whatever, will be denied to us. The health system, whereby our medicines that mostly all come from GB, that's not fully resolved. The EU give us an opt-out on it until 2024. What happens after that? You know, so the DUP is actually thinking of the future. I'm thinking of the welfare of every single person who lives in Northern Ireland. You know, you can't, short-termism is good PR for Sinn Féin in putting down the DUP and trying to create that public perception that the DUP is responsible for all our ills, when it, clearly it's not. But it's the long-term strategy of the DUP that's going to deliver for everybody. And it, hopefully the EU will. I know that Simon Coveney and the Taoiseach seem to think that the EU has moved and the UK has moved, that there will be an accommodation. But unless it really does address the fundamentals, that we need the UK single market restored, and we need to have common sense in how trade between the UK, between GB and Northern Ireland is implemented. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, look, it is worth noting, as Councillor Riley has said, that Sinn Féin did bring the executive down over policing and justice powers and on the Irish Language Act. You can't eat an Irish Language Act, or you can't heat your home with an Irish Language Act, yet Sinn Féin held the country to ransom for almost 3 years to push forward on a party political agenda. It's right and proper that this fuel payment has been offered, and it should be made. And the DUP have MPs in Westminster that are making that case, and at least to refer to the DLP, that they have been consistent and that they are in Westminster making that case as well. But I think that it should be said to the Secretary of State that no matter how much he tries to threaten or bully the DUP, that there's at least 83% of unionists agree with the action that we have taken to sort out the protocol. And I think if all parties were to come together and recognise the overarching concerns and the problems that the protocol has been causing and will cause in the future, rather than trying to make a party political point on it. In the South, the two largest parties have said that they won't share power with Sinn Féin. Up here, we unfortunately have to do so. But the power-sharing executive works on a cross-party consent, and at the moment that cross-party consent simply isn't there because of this fundamental problem that is impacting on trade between East and West. And the same problem would be if there was a hard border on this island. We can all remember whenever Sinn Féin were standing on the border holding protests, holding sledgehammers, that they were pushing. They were going down this route that there should be no impact on any trade, on any part of, be it East, West, North or South. And we completely agree with that. And we want to see no impact on trade, be it on food or be it on goods. So until that is fixed and sorted, we will not be going back into Stormout, no matter how much of the Secretary of State and others try to gang up and bully. And I think that this particular motion would potentially have held more sway if there wasn't a party political slant on it, that all parties of this chamber could have said in a united front to the Westminster government and the Secretary of State that this payment needs to be made, and we accept and we recognise that there are problems and the difference of opinion. It's time to get the problem sorted out rather than always trying to make that snide points, Chair.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Thank you, Chair. Alliance supports this motion. The continuing lack of clarity surrounding much needed energy support payments for households in Northern Ireland is totally unacceptable. Fuel poverty is on the rise in Northern Ireland. England, Scotland, Wales and the Republic of Ireland have all received fuel payments. This chaos and ill management could have easily been avoided had an executive been in place. And we ask DPMLAs to reconsider their stance. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I wasn't going to come in to speak, but I came in after Glenn's comments. I think they were very unwarranted comments, saying that if it's cold outside, they blame it on the DUP. Glenn, nobody's saying that. It's not your fault it's cold outside. But it is your fault that people are cold inside. But by your actions of not taking part in an executive. I'm sure the DUP are facing the same issues that we face with their constituents. When we visit their homes and their towns, they can't heat their homes. They're having problems in regards to getting food. They're also trying to make Christmas. You know, that's the stark reality of people. People have to sacrifice what they're going to do in regards to trying to make the best for Christmas for their young ones, but trying to heat their homes at the same time. And so it is a very serious situation. It's not to be laughed at. I hear a lot of flippant comments, and I don't think that's fair. It's not right, and the people struggling out there. You know, you have a situation. I visited a home. You had a single mother who was getting hot water bottles ready for her kids to get them off to bed and putting extra clothing on them. But also before they went to bed, they were getting heat from the oven. The oven door was open. So that's the stark reality that people are facing. And as I say, it's not a joke of matter. Parents are juggling, you know, eating and heating and making Christmas. And it shouldn't be made a laughing matter. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews, you had a question?
I have indeed, Chair. And first of all, as we're all elected reps, I'm sure day and daily we're getting inundated with queries from our constituents about when's the money coming through that was promised. You know, and I'd like to ask Marie, has there been any correspondence from the Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer in front of the motion that was tabled here last month along the lines of this emergency motion that was tabled this evening? You know, as I say, just so many are looking for payment of monies promised, and maybe after tonight's debate, you know, everybody's outlined their concerns about the money. Maybe a further correspondence could be sent to the Prime Minister and to the Chancellor of the Exchequer in London, outlining the sense of urgency that the money that's been earmarked has not been put into people's pockets, especially at the time when we need it. I would be grateful if that action could be sanctioned from tonight's meeting, that we read again to the Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer.
That would be a further amendment to the motion.
Well, if the proposer of the motion would accept that we write to the Prime Minister and to the Chancellor of the Exchequer again, I would appreciate that of underlining the sense of urgency and ensuring that the payments are made and delivered to the people that are in need of the money.
Councillor Murray. He wants to, Councillor Andrews wants to know, do you want to amend the motion to add to it that we write to them? Now, given the fact that we have written in the last month to the 15th of November, which was 3 weeks ago, Councillor Andrews. Right. Okay, Terry. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll allow for adequate time for response. I think 3 weeks, given postal strikes and everything else, is allowing adequate time for a response. I think if we're sitting well into the new year, maybe we're sitting at the February meeting and we haven't a response, then we can certainly agitate to end the game. We're happy enough to hold on that. Just by way of adding to the debate slightly and some of the comments we made about the need to deal with the Northern Ireland Protocol, just by way of updating members, I was at the Shared Island Forum in Dublin today, and certainly the music coming from Antishek was one of hope and anticipation that the issues would be resolved. I don't think it's a silver bullet that the protocol is going to go, but I think the EU and the British government are working towards practical solutions to deal with the practical issues. But there is a need, and the Taoiseach did express a need for the reinstatement of the executive as soon as possible. So hopefully those two things will collide at some stage very soon, that we can start deliver for people. But just by way of update, I wanted to inform members of that today. I was there representing the council. So we're at the position now where we are going to vote on the motion, because there's obviously a division in the chamber. So we'll go to the vote. Go roll call again for the vote, and then we'll let Barry come in and wind at the end, okay?
Councillor Andrews?
Four.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Burgess?
Against.
Councillor Burton? Councillor Casey?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Kern? Four. Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray is absent. Councillor Muir?
Against.
Councillor Mulgrew?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor O'Murray?
Four.
Councillor Owen? It's not in the chamber for the vote. Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Yeah, four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes is absent. Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
And Councillor Train is absent. So I have 34 and 7 against the motion.
Okay, the motion's carried. So just before we wrap up for this evening, folks, Barra's going to come in and wind, and then just a simple thing to say before you wrap up.
Thanks, Chair, and delighted that this motion has made its way through. Just to address some of the comments, it was said possibly by Glynn that there was nothing blocking the government from paying this out. Did it ever occur, maybe to Glynn or the DUP, that the government are purposely trying to embarrass the DUP? The British government changing the goalposts. If they look at the British government's history in Ireland, it should come as no surprise that they can't be relied on. Davey talked about uncalled for motions. Just ask the people. I'll retract it, Davey. All right. You want to point your finger anymore? Good man. Retract it, right? All nice and calm now.
Right.
You don't need to point your finger.
Right, bit of order, folks. He's retracted that statement.
I was asked about abstentionism. Our party has a long policy of abstentionism, which doesn't need to be gone over now again. Somebody said it was ridiculous to blame the DUP for everything. But is it, really? So you look at, and it was said by several people, about Sinn Féin collapsing the government. Sinn Féin collapsed the government over an RHI scandal that no...
Bit of order in the chamber, folks.
That no coalition government could survive.
Councillor, a bit of order, please.
It collapsed the government over failures to respect cultural differences. Do you remember the Feed the Crocodiles? Remember that crack? So there's no selective amnesia. And party political agenda, I think it was possibly Councillor Lewis, shouldn't be confused with the wishes of the people. So this motion was intended to protect the people, to try and get the £600 to the people as quickly as possible, and I'm delighted it got through. All right?
Just
to finish, Chairman, I was going to ask you, could we organise an emergency meeting with the Southern Trust regarding the epidemic of scarlet fever? 24-hour waiting for a call back from a GP. The whole area, I've been inundated with calls from worried parents of children. And
we'll take that up with Democratic Services in the morning. We'll get that sorted.
Thanks very much, Chairman.
Councillor.
Yeah, Chair, sorry. We didn't have the opportunity at the start of it, but on behalf of the SDLP group, we do wish Roisin and Charlie the best of luck for the future outside of politics. I'm sure in the Chamber we haven't always agreed, but on behalf of us, me and Charlie always agreed, Roisin, never me and you. But we do wish you well outside of politics for the future.
Okay.
Michael?
I knew we'd have a little Christmas cheer before we got to the end of tonight. Just on that point, folks, we've talked tonight about the cost of living crisis and the pressure that families are under. There's one way every one of you in this chamber can assist locally here. I have launched a food bank appeal across five centres in the district to support our local food banks. We've one in Monaghan, we've a collection point in Monaghan Row, one in Downshire, one at the hut in the Forest Park in Castlewellan, Kilkee Leisure Centre and Ballinahinch Centre. And if there are any issues, with any groups of stuff that would like us to collect it, if we contact Democratic Services, we'll do our best to get them collected. It's very important that people vote with their feet in relation to supporting those who are struggling at this time. And I would ask members to please support the campaign and direct people who are looking to put goods, in particular foodstuffs and even toys, to the food banks, that we can get them to the people that are most in need of them. And on that point, I want to wish you all a very, saying this is our last meeting before Christmas, to wish you all a very happy and peaceful Christmas with your families. Enjoy every minute of it, and we'll come back scrapping in the new year. All right, happy Christmas.